As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
There was about five or six CJ Stroud references yesterday.
Reggie acting like CJ Stroud is Mahomes. Like, these are two all-time players, as Steph Curry is pointing to him, and he just knows how to rise to the occasion. Look, CJ had a really nice playoff win his rookie year. He hasn't done a lot in the NFL. He's had a nice little Steph Curry. And what he was like comparing the two,
right?
Like they were equals in their sports.
I love
CJ too. I know what he was trying to do, but it was like, come on, Reg. You're reaching.
I give these Houston Rockets about the same chance I gave those Houston Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs. Slim to none. How about that? That's about what I got for them.
Was there a moment in the fourth quarter, especially in the late third quarter, they had a 14-point lead? Did you feel like the game was in the balance at any point when the lead started to evaporate? It became a two-possession game multiple times.
It got close. I still didn't think they had the guy to shoot the ball late to get them over the top, though. Throughout that whole run, I get it. A lot of Warriors fans are getting nervous. I don't view it as that hyper-focused fan. Again, the fan in you, I get it. But for me, I was just taking a step back, looking at it objectively. Like, they don't have the guy to put them over the top.
No.
They just don't. Like, who are you trusting on that team to take the last shot, Joe, for the Houston Rockets? Who do you fear them taking the last shot?
Van Vliet, because he's done it against you before.
But history.
I mean, but listen to what I'm saying.
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah, we're talking about
6 years ago.
Fred Van Vliet. I mean,
yeah.
How many players in the league would I name before I got to him league-wide?
And again, I will respect the high-level moments he's had in the playoffs, but that was against, you know, the Warriors 6 years ago. And that was a different team. Yeah. That was a Raptors team that had, you know, the likes of, you know, Kawhi Leonard at a time.
Well,
or they had who's my guy that's over in the Pacers?
Serge Ibaka.
Well, I can't even think of the guy that's
Norman Powell.
Siakam. There you go. Pascal Siakam, who's trying to think.
Pascal Siakam.
Yes. They had big win for them, by the way, the Pacers, over the weekend.
But, you know, Joe, I don't want to harp on it too much because they're going to have to make some adjustments. But I looked at some of the lineups down the stretch, and I didn't love some of the combinations. So to me, I think part of the feeling out process of a 7-game series is, hey, this is working, this isn't working. And what's working in game one might not work come game 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? So you're always tinkering, but they're up 14, 16, back and forth. It's a Jimmy, Buddy Hield, Looney, GP2, Steph lineup. And it just felt kind of clunky, okay? It just felt kind of clunky. Then they sub out GP2 and they sub out Steph Curry. And it was very briefly. This is 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's 55-68 when they sub them out. Now, again, it's very quick. You have Gee, Looney, Jimmy, Pods, Hield. That's a no-no for me.
Yikes.
That's a no-no. I'll say it again. Gee, Looney, Jimmy, Pods, and Hield. It was... You had multiple possessions, all right? And look, it was quick. He only did it for about a minute. And then he subs in Quinn Post. So at one point to end the third quarter, you had Post Looney, which I'm not mad at him for trying two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Post Looney, Jimmy Pods Hield. And that was just a giant dud of a lineup. Now, Maybe you go back to it. I don't know. But immediately he subs in Steph Curry and Gui Santos and yanks out Buddy Hield and Kevon Looney to kind of finish that third quarter. It's 60-69. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a rock fight. This first couple of minutes of this fourth quarter are extremely important to me. Extremely important. They start the fourth quarter post Dre, Steph, GP2, Pods.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And that wasn't great either, even though they got up to a 10-point lead. They subbed Jimmy back in, and with the Jimmy lineup, so it's Jimmy, Dre, Steph, GP2, Pods, it becomes a 73-76 game in basically 5 minutes.
Yep. It was a slow burn for sure, and I think it was just painful to watch because most of it was just self-inflicted. They were forcing things they didn't need to force. They were careless. They couldn't get, I was mentioning Buddy Butterfingers. I was like, they couldn't get the loose balls and they needed them to continue possessions. And again, credit the Houston Rockets. They're really good defensively. Like that is something they're going to hang their hat on.
Yes.
They're not going to get punked in any of these games. They just can't shoot the ball.
No.
Like that's my biggest takeaway from that game yesterday. And what's yours at 888-957-9570? We're going to get to Dominic and Berkeley here in just a second.
I want to give Steve Kerr credit. As clunky as those lineups were to end the third, with 7 minutes to go, he subs Moses Moody back in. And I thought, that's the play. Because GP2 rushed a three-pointer in the corner, which I know why he thinks he's got to take that shot. It's a little early in the shot clock for me. And I just, whatever.
He was the only Warrior, if you're doing plus-minus in the minus category, he was a minus 10. But I didn't think he was a minus 10 as a player yesterday at GP2.
But again, it's a tight game. And that's why I want to bring this up. Moody gets subbed in for GP2. It's 73-76. All right? He immediately hits a jump shot on a late shot clock situation, a 14-footer. And then Curry hits a sweet three-pointer. And then Moody gets a huge rebound. And then they end up, like, turning it over. But Moody was a very big player down the stretch. And then with under 4 minutes to go, he hits a three-pointer in the corner, which, again, it kind of propelled them. I don't think you're getting that from GP2. And I want to give Kerr credit for playing Moody in that spot because I felt like they needed some offense. And I'm really happy for Moses Moody to, A, get an opportunity to get back in there, and then, B, make the most of that opportunity. Those are big shots for him. And if they're going to go anywhere, Moody's got to find his shot.
And his first ever playoff start, too, for Moses Moody as well as Brandon Pajemski. And they showed up big time in big moments yesterday. And that's one of the question marks heading into the series and really what the playoffs is going to be for this team. That's going to be the question. Can those other guys step up? Because we saw what Jimmy's going to do. We saw what Steph's going to do. Draymond, can he give you anything scoring? Only 4 points for him yesterday. You got to think he's going to have a game in this series at some point where he gets the ball and he can score a little bit more. Again, Pajemski, Moody. Is there going to be a Quentin Poe situation? Gui Santos here or there. Buddy, again, only 2 points for Buddy Hield yesterday. He needs to hit some of these threes. He was 0 for 2 yesterday. And he's got to think that's baked in the equation at some point in this series and going forward. If they're going to go anywhere where they want to go, Joe.
Exactly.
Those guys have got to step up offensively.
They absolutely have to. And I'm really happy for Moses Moody because, you know, he has not shot the ball well over like a pretty big sample.
Still really hasn't, but he hit big shots yesterday. Well, he did.
Yes. Those are confidence builders.
Yeah.
Those are huge for him. And I think that it could have easily been him getting iced out down the stretch. And I want to give Kirk credit because, again, I didn't love some of the combinations.
I know you didn't.
To end the third. And like in the fourth, you were playing your best lineup, that GP2 Pods, Dre, Jimmy, Steph lineup. And it wasn't performing. He subbed in Moses Moody, and then instantly he rewarded him with hitting some big shots. And I think that those are big building blocks for him.
Dominic Berkley. Good morning, Dominic.
What's up, Dominic?
How are we feeling about that win yesterday? What's your confidence level looking like, Dominic, after a huge 95-85 win to go up 1-0 in the series? Good morning.
Let me tell you this, man. We all are excited, but honestly, you know, the Rockets is not the number two seed, man. They wind up getting there.
They are, but
I think between what was happening with the Warriors, Timberwolves, it's a sleeper team to me. That's the team that they have to watch out for. You know, we have to allow Kerr to go ahead and play this chess match, man, because it's all matchup. Look what happened when they put Adams in there. I mean, he was just
killing them.
Okay, they're going to go ahead and make the adjustments, man. I just think that everybody needs to calm down. Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, they've been there. And those guys are going to come through, man. They're not going to always hit all the shots, but in the moments that they really need it, they're going to hit them, man. And
so what are we calming down? I'm a little confused. What are we calming down? The excitement or calming down the negativity? I'm a little confused.
I'm talking about, I'm listening to you guys. I don't like what Kerr do, the matchups. And it's a chess match, man. It's just really a chess match, and everybody just have to calm down and let Kerr go ahead and do what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has he won 100 games, man.
Hey, Dominic, were we trashing Steve Kerr at all today? I don't think we are. Are you watching people do that after yesterday's win?
No. It's not a trash. Everybody's just expressing the dislikes and likes of some of the movements and some of the starters and stuff like that. All I got to say, man, is we need to be proud of the Warriors. Since Jimmy has got here, man, it's a whole new different dynamic. Everything worked out the way that it was supposed to work out. I'm glad that they fell in the seventh seed.
Mm-hmm.
Just think if they had won, it would be totally different right now.
Well, I would agree with you also on the Timberwolves. Like, look, we got our eyeball on that matchup because that would be who the Warriors play.
Correct. Now. So the Warriors and T-Wolves, the only road teams to win in game one over the weekend. The only two road teams, the Clippers, probably they tricked it off. I thought they should have won that game, but they didn't. Credit
to
Nuggets,
so
our champions.
Glad we're not playing both of those.
That's going to be a dogfight of a series.
Yeah.
That's the one where actually OKC is probably looking like, oh, great, yeah. You two just go at each other.
Yeah.
We'll pick up the scraps and blow you guys out in game one again.
But here's the thing. They have a lot of veterans in both, like the Clippers and the Nugs. And I don't want to get too deep in, but there's a lot of veterans on the court for both seeds, both teams. And
a lot of high playoff
Zubac,
minutes. Yep.
He's been in the league a long time. You know what I mean? Like a lot of those guys on both sides know how to win games in the playoffs. So we'll get to that. But that Laker-Minnesota matchup would be who the Warriors would face. We got to get through Houston, though.
Was that the most surprising of the weekend, probably, what Minnesota did to the Lakers? Were you surprised by that?
I actually thought Orlando putting up the fight that they did against Boston was
the final score doesn't indicate how close that game was and tight.
Exactly.
Paolo looked sick. I love Paolo Banchero.
Well, I mean, Tatum hurt his wrist. You know, that's something to monitor, you know? So like
Knicks Pistons was fun. That was a good one. That was a dogfight.
Yeah.
It's just fun seeing Detroit again. They were so awful this last decade plus. They actually have hope. So again, I know round one, in game one weekends of the NBA playoffs, it's not the same as super wild card weekend.
No.
And it's not even close.
But that win for the Warriors was a shot across the bow because you had the opportunity. Think about it this way. Had they lost that game, how big of a wow, you had this one in your hands and you lost it. Now I got it. We got to find our way.
What a suck.
Fight back and win game two. Now it's like house money. And I think all the pressure now goes directly to the Houston Rockets. And obviously the Warriors are going to have to make certain adjustments to slow them down. I'm just not sure what their offensive adjustments are to free things up. Warriors are going to stay in multiple zones throughout the bulk of the second, third quarters. And I don't know where they're going to get shots from.
Well, we had, who was it? Adam Wexler, who joined us last week. He does the pre and post for the radio side for Houston Rockets. He joined Bonte and I. And he said the series is going to come down to Jalen Green. If Jalen Green can score efficiently, the Rockets can win this series. Well, we saw what it was in game one. 3 of 15 in 31 minutes for Jalen Green. 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. 7 points. A big fat poo-poo.
So
it was horrible.
Let me give you his last 5 games, okay? Now, a Warrior game is in there where he scored 21. His best game ever against the Warriors. He played the Clippers. He scored 5 points. He played the Lakers. He scored 7 points. He played Denver. He scored 2 points. He played the Warriors in this game one. He scored 7 points.
And those are all Western Conference
contenders. Exactly.
Like those are all big boy veteran teams.
Sophisticated veteran teams that know what you want to do.
Correct.
This is not the Utah Jazz.
No. And well, Dominic did say something about them being the 2 seed and saying well, they're not really the 2 seed. I did kind of feel like that watching yesterday. Because again, on paper, they are the 2 seed. And I'm going to give them credit for because they had to take the regular season seriously. A lot of these teams, like the Lakers, for example, not that they don't, I'm not trying to say they don't take the regular season seriously, but it's not the end all be all.
No, they're setting themselves up because they know the most important time is right now.
The Warriors, the Clippers,
Celtics.
Like, and again, the Celtics and Cavs, I'll push away because they can win no matter what, because they have the depth and the talent to do so.
Yeah, but it's not like the Celtics were fighting tooth and nail for months on end.
No, they weren't. But they do have youth on their side with their two best players too. Like, sure. I'll look at the Warriors and the Lakers in particular. They have a lot of older guys as their kind of their best players, albeit Luka is now there with LeBron. Yeah,
they're in like chief mode.
They can cruise at times. So, and a young team, a team that's trying to prove themselves, is going to take the regular season a bit more seriously at times, and they are younger and fresher, and they're going to win. So by virtue of all of that, they are the two seed. But I kind of heard Dominic where it's like, kind of fraudulent. A little bit. I felt like they were a fraudulent two seed watching that game yesterday. I did.
Well, again, the regular season is different from the playoffs. Like, the regular season is just its own unique. You're playing 82 games. You don't play the same opponent in back-to-back games. You're flying in and out. And then you get into the regular season, right? I mean, the playoffs, excuse me. You get into the playoffs, and it's 7 games against the exact same team. We get to adjust. We get to practice. There's days off in between. It could not be more different, regular season to playoffs. Like, at least in baseball, you play 3-game set against this team, a 4-game set against that team, a 3-game set against that team. And so a 7-game series, there is some semblance of that throughout the regular season. The NBA regular season is all over the place.
Right.
And then you get into the playoffs, and it's a complete, it's officiated different.
Yep.
It's played different. The practice level is different. The planning is different. The rotations are different. Like, everything about it is different. So, yeah, it doesn't resemble the regular season at all.
888-957-9570. Same number to call or text. The Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Your confidence level after that game is what? And also, Dub Nation, Jimmy Butler is a Golden State Warrior. Again,
what a game.
25 points.
What a game.
6 assists, 5 steals.
How many rebounds?
7 for him, but 3 offensive, which felt huge.
Yeah.
Like, every single. And real quick, the offensive rebound disparity in this game. This is another thing. If I'm the Houston Rockets waking up this morning and I'm a Rockets fan, it's like, man, we dominated the glass. We out-rebounded them 22, offensive rebounded them 22-6. We had 22 offensive.
But I thought that the Warriors.
We had 22 offensive rebounds. It wasn't enough.
Read me off the guard rebounding totals for the Warriors, because I thought Pods, Curry, GP2, I thought they did a really good job on the loose balls.
Steph had 6 defensive rebounds. Pods had 7 defensive rebounds. That's 13. Draymond Green, obviously 5.
How about Buddy?
Buddy Hield, he had 1. Quinn Post had 1. Keith Santos had 1. I know guards you're looking for. Gary Payton had 3.
Okay.
So there you go. But they did.
I mean, that's 15 from your guards. Like, that's a really good game plan. And then I just look at, like, guard production for Houston. If Van Fleet and Green are going to play that way, they have no chance.
What gives you more confidence? I'll ask this question. Was it the combination of Stephen Curry and Jimmy Buckets yesterday combining for 56 points? Or was it a defensive performance? Because for me, like, I get it. Those two are special. That was awesome. It was their first playoff game together. I'm going away from that game saying that interior defense that they showed against that long, big, athletic team that can't shoot the ball. Like, that is what I'm coming away with. They held them to 85 points yesterday, Joe. That is their lowest of the season for Houston scoring the ball. 85 points, and that's the lowest they've held an opponent all season long to the Warriors.
And the first half was the least that they had given up all year.
Dude, they held them to 34 points.
It was
34. I was watching 2001 NBA basketball again.
I thought it was the Pistons.
Right?
The early
Ben Wallace and Co.
I said to you guys, and I couldn't believe I said this, I go, 87 is going to win this game. I think I said that at the start of the fourth quarter. And you guys all looked at me like I could feel
it's
it.
Like, this didn't respond. No, like, we didn't.
These guys think I'm an idiot.
No.
I'm like, no, I really think 87 points wins this game.
And you had Jimmy Butler and Stephen Curry, and then you had the big shots from Moses Moody again. Like, you have the greatest shooter in the history of the sport on your team, and they're throwing out Fred VanVleet. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep coming back to that. It is what it is.
But the other aspect to this is that the Warriors can shoot better when it comes to the hands. Like,
yes.
Quentin could have a moment, or at least a quarter. Buddy, God, can his buddy just do something?
He did. They are not going to be facing, if they advance, of defense, I believe, this ferocious and this physical going forward.
Right, and so I think Post, I would give Post another opportunity. Run it back. Let him shoot. He's got to keep shooting, and I think he needs to be aggressive. Buddy can hit a bucket. I need Potts to stay confident. We need Moody to build off of what he did in that fourth quarter. Because I think if he can get to about 10 to 12 points, we're looking a lot better. GP2, continue to stay aggressive. If they can get contributions from the others, to me, the magic number is 100. If they're around 100 points, they're going to win every one of these games against the Rockets. It's when they're bottled up and Steph's not scoring and Jimmy's not scoring. And then the others, it becomes more imperative that they have to contribute. I don't know if they can get that done. If it's in the 90s, in the 80s, that favors the Rockets. If you can be around 100, get the brooms ready.
And speaking of that, holding the team to 85 points, Steve Kerr was damn proud of it.
You know, they're the best team in the league in the possession game. You know, they got 11 more shots than we did tonight as a result of all those offensive boards. Now, we're going to turn them over, too. You know, and our defense is excellent. I mean, we just held a hell of a team to 85 points on their home floor. So our defense is big time, and we're going to count on that. But we've got to recognize that we don't need to take chances in this series. We need to be clean with our execution and transition. We don't need to dribble through traffic. We don't need to throw lob passes, to try to get a dunk. We've got to be rock solid. And if we're smart and tough, then I think we're going to be in good shape.
And that is exactly what I came away thinking yesterday. Smart and tough, relying on your veterans and them setting the tone. That is what you need in a game one to calm the Moody's, the Pajemskis, the Quinn Post, who did look shaky at times. All those guys. Hell, Buddy Hield did too. Buddy Hield, it's not like he has a whole lot of playoff experience. He doesn't. He was playing for the Kings for most of his career, for Christ's sake, right? Like, and the New Orleans Pelicans. Like,
I took so much. I couldn't believe how much happiness I took out of watching the Kings
lose. They're awful. Though the Kings fans were probably not enjoying themselves watching that Golden State Warriors performance last night. Kyle Draper.